Hello, I'm Skip Kirkwood. I'm the chief of the Wake County EMS Division in Raleigh, North Carolina, and I'm the president-elect of the National EMS Management Association. I'll become the president in January of this year. Here at EMS Expo, now EMS World Expo, I just got finished giving a presentation on career development issues for EMS. And it really comes in two pieces. One is career development issues in EMS generally, and my comments are directed at individuals who are in leadership positions in EMS. And the second part is career development advice for folks who envision themselves to be future leaders and folks who want a career in EMS. So the big issue with career development in EMS is that we've essentially evolved into a one-trick pony. We respond to calls, we put the patient in the ambulance, and we carry him somewhere. That's only one service. And what that means for many folks in EMS is that they have only two career choices, and they can do them several times each day. They can work in the back of the truck, or they can work in the front of the truck. Mm-hmm. And for most people, that presents a couple of choices, because people with engaged minds and active thought processes look for more in their career than just doing the same thing every day.
Right.
It's kind of a characteristic of people in the post-industrial society, where we don't really want to work on assembly lines anymore. Mm-hmm. If you look at where we compete for human capital, there's a very competitive marketplace out there, and it's becoming much more competitive. We're going to try in the United States to replace a workforce of 80 million people over the next 20 years with a workforce of 30 million people. Even with my limited mathematical skills, that's a deficit of 50 million people.
Sure.
That means there's going to be much more competition for good people, and the law of supply and demand is going to kick in. But we have working on the ambulance is the only career option for a medic. Mm-hmm. Now, the place where we compete for that human capital is really two places. One is the public safety world. The same kind of people do EMS as do law enforcement and as do fire protection. So that's one place we compete. The other place is the allied health world, where there are many career opportunities for folks with not requiring dozens of years of education to get to. You can be a technologist of one sort and easily become a technologist of another sort because of the foundation science and anatomy courses and such, all are common.
Sure.
Educational threads. So in this competitive environment, if the only options we give people are the back of the truck and the front of the truck, they're going to go someplace else. And there's going to be people looking for them elsewhere because we're short people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting to that age now where I can see where one day I'm going to need an ambulance to come to my house, and someday after that I'm going to need an ambulance to come to a nursing home or something to take care of me, and I'd like it to be competent, caring professionals who like what they do and are happy to be there and to be providing me with that service. So if we're going to provide our folks... Well, let me step back a second. I have a graphic that I use that I can't mm-hmm. show you in there. Actually, two graphics. One compares the vertical structures of like a law enforcement agency, where there's probably a 10-level career ladder, starting with policeman at the bottom and ending with police chief at the top. And I can show you the same graphic for the fire service, where you start as a firefighter and you can end up as the fire chief. And in EMS, I can show you where you start. Yeah, basically the entry-level professional credential today is a paramedic.
Mm-hmm.
You start as a paramedic, and then nobody's quite sure what's in between there and the chief.
Right.
Everybody knows the top and the bottom, but in between is ill-defined, and sometimes there is no in between. We've also built very small organizations.
Mm-hmm.
The average EMS agency in the United States probably has five or less ambulances and 50 or less people.
Mm-hmm.
And small agencies just don't provide a lot of career options.
Sure.
Whether you're talking about EMS or law enforcement or retailing or mm-hmm. restaurants or whatever, if it's a small operation, there's not a lot of mobility available. So EMS leadership has to realize that providing career options for its people is part of their job.
Mm-hmm.
So that may mean some sacrifices. That may mean something like, maybe you like being the chief of your two truck EMS service, but you're going to stop being the chief at some point. You're going to retire. You're going to move on to something bigger. And what about the people that you need below you? Well, if all they've seen is that they had to wait for you to die before they could promote, they're going to go somewhere else.
Right.
There won't be anybody there. So maybe instead of being where you're comfortable as chief of your two truck agency, maybe you need to form a bigger agency that will provide, have the flexibility and the strength and the depth to provide more opportunity for your individuals.
Mm-hmm.
Going back to our friends in law enforcement and fire protection for a moment, not only do they have a pretty well-defined vertical career ladder, but they also have a pretty well-defined set of horizontal career options. If you look at a good-sized police department in any city in the United States, a police officer who's looking for a little variety and a little advancement, a little more opportunity, can do dozens of things besides wearing a uniform, patrolling in a patrol car.
Right.
They can be on the SWAT team, they can be a bomb disposal specialist, they can be a canine officer and go to all the big calls with their dog, they can work on a motorcycle, they can be a detective, they can be a crime scene investigator and do all that stuff. They can specialize in various types of crimes, various special kinds of problems. If they're crazy and they like activity and they want to be outside and run around, they can join the SWAT team. There's all kinds of stuff
right.
they can do. Fire service, same way. You can work in fire suppression. You can work in prevention. You can work in public education. You can be somebody who studies blueprints and make sure buildings are built in a fire-safe manner. All sorts of options. Then if you put that same graphic down at the bottom, there's EMS. We got one choice in most places, work on the ambulance.
Right.
So why are we there? Well, we set ourselves up to be in a difficult situation a number of years ago when EMS, or the ambulance service, walked away from anything that they couldn't send a bill.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at other developed countries, and look at England or Germany or what have you, first response as well as transportation is provided by the EMS agency. In the United States, we've evolved a complex system of first responders who sometimes get along and sometimes don't
mm-hmm.
because our first generation of ambulance providers didn't want to do anything they couldn't send a bill for, and the bill was for the ride to the hospital.
Right.
So as a result, we don't see a lot of public money in EMS.
Mm-hmm.
We start our budgeting process with how much we think we can bill this year, and that's our budget. That used to work pretty good. In the 1980s, that worked fine when you could charge however much you wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
But then in 2002, along came the Balanced Budget Act and the National Medicare Fee Schedule. And now, for most of your patients, you can't charge whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
You charge what Medicare says you can charge, and that's it.
Right.
So we've got this budgeting model where we start with how much we think we can bill, and it's not enough to do even what we want to do with. And we try and do it anyway. So we don't pay people well. We keep equipment longer than we should. We don't embrace new technology. We don't develop our people through good continuing education.
Mm-hmm.
We're in this box. We got to get out of this box. And we got to get out of this box by getting some local money into EMS, local tax money. The Tea Party is here. The federal government's going to shrink. We're not going to see big floods of federal or even state money in
mm-hmm.
EMS. EMS is going to be like law enforcement and fire protection and schools and libraries and what have you. It's going to be funded to the extent the local taxpayers want it to be funded.
Mm-hmm.
So EMTs and paramedics and their leaders need to be getting out, educating the community, making the business case for why public money should come to EMS to provide services that would be beneficial to the community.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to happen nationally. It's not going to happen at the state level. It's going to be local. I had an interesting example the other day, because my agency, we have a group of paramedics called Advanced Practice Paramedics,
mm-hmm.
who do community paramedicine and prevention and stuff like that. And we're fortunate that our county commissioners provided us taxpayer funding to do that,
mm-hmm.
because it's a good thing to do. So I'm always looking for new ways for EMS to be involved in the community. And my daughter, who's in middle school, she's an eighth grader, came home, and I said, what did you do today? She said, well, we didn't have our activity time today because we had to go to an assembly. I said, what was the assembly? She said, one of the teachers and the school resource officer taught us about gang violence. School resource officer, that's Deputy Smith. And what does Deputy Smith do? Well, he's a police officer who's assigned to work at the school.
Mm-hmm.
And he does, it's a middle school. They're 12 and 13 years old.
Right.
You don't have a lot of law enforcement problems. But he's a presence there.
Right.
He teaches classes. He interacts with individual kids. He solves problems for the principal. And he's a great presence there. When I was growing up, we had the school nurse. Every school had a registered nurse. You got sick, you went to see the nurse. She decided if you went home or not, what have you. They don't do that anymore.
Mm.
Most schools don't have nurses. Those that do, they spend a lot of time with very complex problems like kids on ventilators in school.
Right.
Kids with feeding tubes, complex stuff. But why don't we have school resource paramedics in there, teaching, a class about cardiovascular fitness or about CPR or
right.
something with the kids and being there to take care of the accidents and illnesses when they happen and all of that. And I think there's probably a few paramedics out there who've been in an ambulance for 7 or 8 years who would love to take some extra training and get an assignment like that.
Sure.
And I think that is one of the failures of current EMS leadership that I'm trying to correct,
mm-hmm.
is to think about your employees and their future and keeping them for a career instead of watching them decide they have to leave the profession and become a nurse or become an engineer or something to make it a decent living and to have a rewarding and fulfilling career.
Sure. So there's things that the leadership can do to
mm-hmm.
to expand their services. What do you think is a good piece of advice for a new paramedic to try to expand his horizons, or so that when a paramedic comes in, sure, he's going to spend a few years in the ambulance, but so that he can prepare to,
The first thing that's going to happen is change. We don't know what it's going to be yet, but there's going to be change. So a new member of the profession who wants to have good career options as things develop needs to really do two things. One is to not artificially limit their own options through personal decisions. The second is to be educated and open-minded and willing to learn more and to take change as a good thing rather than to fight it.
Mm-hmm.
I'll talk about the second one first. Many people see their paramedic card as an end of the line.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I've got this, I've finished school and got my license, I'm done, now I can go to work. It's not the end of the line. You've just now got a license to learn what a paramedic does, and you're going to spend a couple, 3 years, maybe 5 years, becoming an accomplished, what in the trades they call a journeyman.
Mm-hmm.
Mastering your craft.
Right.
You got to see a lot of patients, do a lot of treatments, make a lot of mistakes, learn from those mistakes, and master your craft. But at the same time, you need to continue getting educated. Get a bachelor's degree.
Mm-hmm.
If you got one, get a master's degree. Getting a higher education is easy today. With distance learning, you can get a degree in thousands, hundreds, or thousands of subjects without leaving your house.
Mm-hmm.
So get educated. Get advanced training. There's plenty of specialty courses from PHTLS to bike medic that mm-hmm. are both fun and interesting and will position you. If all of a sudden your service chief comes up with money and says, we can have bike medics working downtown over the summer, I am one of those.
Right.
Let me be in this new program. You know, in the city of Pittsburgh, EMS for years has participated in a partnership with their police department called River Rescue. Mm-hmm. And a paramedic and a police officer staff the boats that patrol all the rivers around Pittsburgh until the ice comes home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, wouldn't that be a nice way to spend your day doing water rescue? So you can do all those things to position yourself. The second piece of that is not making personal decisions that limit your career options. And the first one of those that comes to my mind because of recent personal issues is your health and physical fitness. You know, if a new option comes up that involves something very desirable to do, you're going to have to compete with others for that option. Don't let your fitness or lack thereof be a barrier to participating in that new program. Similarly, financial stuff. If you get out of school and get your paramedic card and you burden yourself with a huge amount of debt, you know, got to buy that new F-250 pickup truck, you know, that every firefighter and paramedic that I know of under 25 has to get, you may not be able to afford to take advantage of an opportunity that comes up a state away.
Right.
So you, if you leverage yourself too heavy, you may not be able to afford to take advantage of a great opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
When I became a paramedic, the paramedic in the family was always the primary breadwinner and was 99% of the time male. Now that's not true. Half of my workforce at Wake County are women. And even for some of them and some of the men, they're the secondary income in the house. So, you know, let's say the spouse is an engineer, and all of a sudden they got a great job in California.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you've gotten yourself in economic trouble and you can't afford to, you know, carry two houses for 2 months till your house sells, or you can't afford that you're going to be off work for 2 months till you get resituated in the new place and go find an EMS agency that'll hire you and get yourself a job, you're stuck.
Right.
So, you know, get all the training and education you can get and make lifestyle decisions that keep your options open.
That's good advice.
Well, I hope that's helpful to some. It's not something anybody talks to you about in paramedic school.
Right.
It's not something people usually talk to you about at work. But, you know, I work with a great group of young men and women who do outstanding EMS, and sometimes I learn of their victories, and sometimes I learn of their troubles. And when I hear about troubles, you know, it's okay. Troubles are bad, but you can always learn from them.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope that's been helpful to your listeners, and thanks for the opportunity.
Thank
to
you.
Talk to y'all.
Thanks for joining us.
Okay.
Open Airways podcasts are produced by FISDAP with support from EMSresponder.com. All recordings express the opinions and experience of the speaker and do not constitute legal or medical advice. This and other recordings can be found at www.openairways.net.